again. Computer class, yeah, tell me your name. It's now the time. We grow with each other every day. It's beyond us now. Can't control ourselves emotionally. This is our life.
Welcome everybody to another episode of the Real Mentors Podcast, where we talk TV, movies, have fun along the way, because otherwise what's the point? We got a really good, fun, different kind of episode. We're doing some of the usual stuff. And of course, we got Game of Thrones, where it was proven to me that Michael Phelps has nothing on Jaime Lannister and Bronn. We'll get into that a little bit later. Exactly. That's the tip of the iceberg.
Because he can outrun sharks.
We'll get into it. I mean, he puts Aquaman. By the way, they put Aquaman to shame.
Okay, before you move on to that, did you watch that stupid Michael Phelps versus the shark thing?
No. Shark Week? No, I heard about it, buddy.
Goodness, no. It was terrible.
Shocker. That voice, of course, is one of the co-hosts here, the head of the GirlsLife.com studios, the man beast himself, a technical producer, Mr. Mike Rose.
Hey now.
And of course, joining us via our phone here, live from Houston, Texas, Tui. How you doing, brother?
Greetings and salutations, gentlemen. I've got my chainmail on. I'm ready for a swim.
Yeah.
Figure that one out.
So we got a lot of stuff to kind of dive into. We're all going to do some Game of Thrones. I wasn't planning on it, but I'm like, you know what? We're going to do it because my what the fudge was actually Game of Thrones related.
Oh, God.
However, literally, I was eating before I'm away here at the GirlsLife.com studios. I stopped to get some meat, and I came across something. I was like, oh, here's another what the fudge, which I can dive into. I was worried. I didn't have one this week at all. And it was actually kind of light. Week of news for movies and all that, so we got some interesting stuff we're gonna do. We got a new segment called
Affleck interview.
I saw that. I made a vow here. Terrible. I'm refusing to do any Justice League talk until the movie comes out.
No, I'm not talking about anything. I'm actually fairly excited for it after seeing some more footage, but I'm done. I'm not watching the
I'm not watching more. And I'm not. Yeah. I'm gonna wait till it comes out, and then we'll see what happens after that.
What's the date on that? By the way, release date?
November 16, I think. Some of that. It took a few months from now.
Yeah. Okay.
By the way, I do want to mention another passing in Hollywood. Yet again, the Nut Job 3 will no longer be making its way to theaters, considering its demise and its terrible performance in the box office. Why didn't make a Nut Job 2? Who the hell thought that was a good idea? It bombed. It was pretty bad.
Hilarious.
But let's get to the what the fudge. And this is the one I ran across the story, you know, about an hour ago. So let me say this. I'm a huge fan of The Fifth Element. I think most of us are, right? Huge fan of The Professional.
I'm a huge fan of Luc Besson.
I'm a fan of him. I'm not a huge fan because he hasn't done much since. Fifth really, Element bro? Was 97. Really, hold on. Let me finish. It was The Fifth Element in the 90s along with 92. Then 94 is Professional. 97 was Fifth Element. After that, the Arthur cartoon series, The Family, some other crap I can't think of. The only decent movie he had was Lucy. That was it since then. He hasn't done a lot. He's a little bit overrated because he's writing the coattails of two great movies in the 90s. And I love those movies. You know, and I like Luc Besson.
You need to review your IMDb.
Check IMDb. Check it out as I go into this. I'm just saying. So
look, I'm not George, so let's just move on.
I'm just saying.
I disagree with you.
Look at IMDb because you're going to be like, I said I like Luc Besson and I love those two movies. However, all that being said, obviously, he came out with The Valerian and whatever stupid movie's called.
That movie is
Not a very good movie. Yeah.
No, it's not that it isn't very good or anything. It's bombing at the box office.
Well, of course. And
maybe
so,
not as bad as Atomic Blonde, but...
No, but Atomic Blonde didn't cost anything, so it doesn't make a difference.
True, but Atomic Bomb, I think, is what they're calling it.
it made what John Wick made Ultimate at the end of the day, so it's not...
John Wick Chapter 2 was amazing, though.
But John Wick didn't make a lot of money either, because I mean, it just didn't.
It did. It made its money back.
But either way, it's at the point.
Dude, by the time it gets to wherever it's going...
I mean, it'll make its money. Either way. So Luc Besson, apparently, had an interview with him. I don't know if it was today or recently. And he's talking about, talking about his movie, The Valerian, whatever. I keep forgetting what the full title of the movie is and who really cares. Just talking about gets into the superhero movies. and how it's they're no good anymore. They were good maybe when the first Iron Man, Spider-Man came out, yada, yada, yada. He says, I quote, "What bothers me the most is always here to show supremacy of America and how they are great. I mean, which country in the world will have the guts to call a film Captain Brazil or Captain France? I mean, no one. We would not be like so ashamed and say, no one, come on, we can't do that. They can. They can call it Captain America and everybody right thinks there. It's normal.
Screw Luke Besson. Thank you. I can't stand
thank
it.
You. What the fudge is up his right. ass, a stupid Frenchman? I mean, come on now. And the worst, and that's just the beginning. That's the beginning. He was talking about.
First of all, who would pay to see Captain France? Just so you know. Okay?
I agree.
And Captain Brazil, what is that? Some kind of transgender?
Well, he's just making a comp. But the thing is, and I looked this up. There's actually.
I'm kidding, Brazil.
There is we love Brazil. There is Captain Britain, a real legit character, and there's Captain Sweden. So it ain't just America. And first of all, Captain America has been.
No, what's the name of the going on for Canadian ages. One? There's
the Guardian. There's called. A couple. There's a bunch of names after the country. There's nothing wrong with that.
The X-Men, there was a guy.
I think there is. And I found a bunch. But either way, it ain't just America. Have the audacity to call Captain America. But whatever. Either way, he can kiss my ass. Yeah. So, but he was on there talking about, because superheroes aren't relatable and this, and they're not good movie, that they don't tell good stories, which I completely disagree. And the best movies this year have been superhero movies.
That's
not,
Wonder Woman's a fantastic great movie.
Logan is great. Spider-Man is great.
Also, the thing is, Wonder Woman has nothing to do with the United States.
No, of course. I mean, it's not exactly. It's just, there's Logan, but it's not, what you call it, though, eccentric to the nation. I forgot what the term is. But be that as it may.
Logan is kind of set in a dystopian future where it's the United States, but it kind of takes place in the United States, Canada.
It has nothing to do about American pride or USA. Nothing. That's just right. Who cares?
Stupid.
It's dumb. He's crying about that. But then he goes on about how he makes he makes good stories, and he goes into Valerian. He's like, unlike my characters, who you can relate to them and they're heroes, but not quite, and yada yada. It goes on and on. This is what I look at. Luc Besson.
Trying to sell this stupid.
Yeah, book. He's crying, and whining because his ass got chewed out in the theaters by other movies, which were clearly better and superior.
Well, he got
superhero
beat.
Movies than that.
He got beat.
He got ripped, and he it came out the same weekend Dunkirk came out, which has nothing to do with superheroes, and it got ripped. Right. Movie like that.
And Dunkirk.
And it's not even an American story.
Right, that's what I mean. I predicted Dunkirk wasn't going to do as good as it did.
That's what I'm saying. And
I'm a moron. I don't know what I'm talking about. That's fine.
And he says, Luc Besson, that guy sucks. He can kill. You don't like USA? Get the hell out of here. Don't release your stupid movies out here.
Speaking of that, what was that movie that was kind of a reminiscent of. Crap. Where they're in a. It's like in a real bad neighborhood in France, and they're in an apartment building, and they're fighting through the apartment building, and it's kind of a ripoff of that.
Not the Raid, but...
No, it's a ripoff of the Raid.
Precinct 13 or something?
Something like that. It's not Precinct 13. It's something like
Zone 13. I think I know what you're talking about. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I saw it in French.
Yeah, I
thought it was a good movie. Look, I'm a fan of the dude. I think he's a pretty good director. He's also the guy that did the French version of 12 Monkeys.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some very interesting... stuff he's done, but he's way off base.
He's crying because his crying because his movie tanked, and it tanked. It's losing like $200-300 million. That's a huge loss.
Even the crappiest Marvel movie made more money.
And it's better than Winter Valerian.
Right.
And it's funny because he also says that there's a difference. He said that I'm paraphrasing here. You can go into the article and all that. I think it's on Blender. But either way, he talks about how the American audience is not. Can appreciate something like what things that he does, and the world audience is so much different. Yeah, the same world audience that pushes Transformers and Fast and Furious to one of the biggest movies of all time. That's the same audience. Warcraft that he's talking about. That's the audience that appreciates good movies.
Warcraft didn't make any money here.
Kiss my butt. Luc Besson is the worst. He's crying because his movie bombed.
Right.
USA, baby. Luc Besson, I love you, man. I love your movies, but kiss my ass.
USA. USA.
Say USA.
I'm not going to participate.
Damn,
in this.
Frenchman.
Damn. You xenophobic.
God, eat your damn french fries, man. Get the hell out of here with this garbage. So either way.
Well, that is a what the fudge.
That is what the fudge, man. I was like, man, this guy sucks.
That's hilarious.
Shame on him. Shame on him. And speaking of shame. Shame. We should walk him like they did Cersei down the dance.
Shame.
He deserves it more than anybody here.
Right.
But speaking of shame, let's lighten the mood here. We mentioned this is a segment we've done before, obviously, where we try to not necessarily embarrass ourselves, but everybody's got those guilty pleasures or things that people, and movies that they appreciate or people don't or whatever that you're ashamed to admit you like, and guilty pleasures or whatever. So I told you guys this week we're going to focus on something small, easy, and that is romantic or chick flicks, a movie that besides When Harry Met Sally, that, you know, you are embarrassed to admit that you like. Or maybe it's not embarrassing. I don't know. We'll find out. So we'll start with Mike's. I know this is Mike's favorite movie genre, you know. Mike, I know there's one. There's one. It's one is Shame. Dude. Looking, Shame. Come on now. Shame. Come on. You know, there's one that has to be.
Chewie go before.
We could ask maybe his wife. Maybe I know a chick flick that Mike knows that Mike might like. You know?
No, we won't bring my wife
in. I'm just saying.
Nope.
There's not one, Mike, really?
Yeah, have Chewie go first. I'll come up with something.
Okay. Go ahead, Chewie.
I like Fever Pitch with Jimmy Fallon and
Wow.
That's a funny movie, man. I like that.
Shame,
one.
Dude. Shame. Oh my god.
Come on, man. It's not that bad.
Oh, it's bad, dude. And just wait till you hear Mike's choice. Fever Pitch, that's the one. Jimmy Fallon, right? They're in Boston, and he's a teacher. That's like
fanat. Yeah, he's a teacher.
That's a terrible movie. Dude.
Wow.
What's her name? I can't remember her name. Jeez.
Okay, Luc Besson.
You know who that is? That's friggin' Jimmy Fallon and flipping. What's her face? Yeah. The blonde.
Barrymore.
Drew Barrymore.
Yeah. Drew Barrymore, thank you. Yes.
Yeah, that's not a good one. That's a bad way. That's a bad way. That's very bold of you to choose that.
Funny, dude. I don't care what you think. It was funny.
We don't call it shame on us for nothing. You know? Okay. That's fair.
It's no divorce court, okay?
Hey, I'll take divorce court way over that. I'm way to that right now. Paternity court. That's way better than that. It's shorter. It's more entertaining.
You are not the father. You know?
Mike, I know Mike. Obviously, no one can see, but Mike's wife is not here. She's, you know, quietly moving about, and she wrote down something for Mike to say about a movie which you heard about. So, Mike, why don't you, divulge to the audience?
It's not one of my favorite movies.
But did you enjoy it?
I thought it was a pretty good movie.
Bring it out. Okay. Come with it.
The Notebook.
Oh, my God.
I'll take the beating.
Wow. You're going to give me that for Fever Pitch, and you're going to go with The Notebook?
We got a new What the Fudge.
Come on, man.
That's Meister Mike Rose.
At least there's some like time travel shit in there.
No, dude. No focus. I hate that movie.
There's no
I get
people
it.
Editing here.
No, I mean, I'm not saying it's great.
I mean, listen, I get it. It's
a one-time watch, honestly.
It's not a bad movie. I just don't like it.
It's a one-time watch.
It's not a bad movie. Like, Fever Pitch, I think, is the worst movie.
I won't watch it again.
Fever Pitch is the worst movie.
It's a bad movie.
But it's less shameful to like Fever Pitch than it is Notebook.
No, dude, I'm not
from my guy's
like
point
it.
Of view.
I'm just saying it's there. At least it's not a rom-com.
No, I said chick flick, either one. Well, it's a romantic movie.
That is. Yeah.
I mean,
I'm talking about a rom-com.
Yeah, I mean, I say that's why I didn't want
rom-coms are terrible.
Yeah, I didn't want to limit to rom-coms per se. Yeah.
Actually, that reminds me of another movie that it's tied to a Notebook. I think it was called. It was with Ryan Reynolds. Was it my best friend or
my best friend's wedding? Trust me.
No, not my best friend's wedding. No, that's Dane Cook. Wrong movie. This is the one where
my best friend's wedding is Julia Roberts.
Chick in high school, he's in a friend zone.
Oh, Just Friends. Famous. Just Friends.
Yeah, Just
that's
Friends.
That's a comedy,
yes,
though.
Yes.
That's a comedy. That's turned into a Notebook? No.
No,
because they actually go watch Notebook in that
Okay.
Where he's like,
he tries to be
sensitive with the girl.
That's not a
Notebook. Okay, let's move
that's
on.
Not a bad movie.
Let's move on from this topic.
Let's move on to the topic. I won't go. No, I'll go. I thought I'd get away with it. Shame on me. I'll name one. And I was forced to watch this. I like it. I admit it. And there's no shame here. Devil Wears Prada.
It's a decent movie.
That's not a bad movie, man. That's a funny movie, too.
I like that one.
Funny, but it's a
good movie. I mean,
there's some really good actors.
That's not even a rom-com.
You got Meryl Streep.
No, I said chick flick. I said one or the other. That's
that
a chick flick.
That movie's actually loaded with stars.
That's a chick flick, though.
That movie has the guy from friggin'
Entourage.
Yeah.
The original Aquaman.
Right. What's that dude's name?
I forgot his name.
William something.
God, I mean, God.
That guy from That Thing.
The guy from That Thing. He's
no. He was also in the
Tucci. Is it Stanley Tucci?
Stanley Tucci, very good actor.
Yeah, he's great. I like him. Obviously,
Hathaway.
And Hathaway. Meryl
Streep. You got Emily Blunt. I think.
Emily Blunt.
Yeah,
correct.
Blunt,
yes. Yes.
Yeah. No.
Yes,
there's
yes.
a lot of.
I see.
Mrs. Tom Brady.
Yeah. Mrs. Yes. Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Actually, it's not a bad movie. I like it. I mean, it's. It's a chick flick.
It's not a bad movie, man.
But whatever.
It's not an awful
I used to movie. Deny to the high heavens. A lot of people like, oh, work. Oh, that movie's terrible. I'm like to myself, God, I like that movie. But I couldn't admit it.
No Notebook, but you know.
Well, I think definitely the shame of the day does go to Mr. Mike Rose.
You two bitches have both seen that movie, so shut up.
I seen it. I mean, I liked it. It's a different.
Just saying.
You're making Lucas sound look really good here, man. That's all I got to say. USA.
Stop the garbage.
Well, let's bounce out of that. Let's get into a new thing we're doing here. I'm calling it What If. So we're going to pretend to be this week, and we'll do this from time to time, of course, and we're going to pretend to be movie executives, if you will.
Yes.
So I got three stories, a couple of which last week I couldn't touch on because due to time constraints. Game of Thrones deserves its time. This is how it goes.
Right.
So I'm bringing it back this week as far as some of the topics, and we're going to do a what if. So I'm going to throw out a scenario that's related to the topic, more or less. And we'll talk about it. I'll get more specifics when I get to it. But let's start with the first topic. So the first one's the easy one. Not easy one, but I think Mikey touched on this last week. With Star Wars, there was news that about the script where I guess they hired a new writer to redo the script that the director, and I forgot his name. His name escapes me.
Are you talking about Miller?
Trevor. Colin Trevor. I think it's his name, the director. Of the episode 9.
Oh, yeah.
The guy who did Jurassic World.
Yeah. Colin Trevor.
He had written the script with somebody else.
Honestly, I thought you were talking about the Han Solo movie.
No, we're done with that. That's injustice.
It's too late to rewrite that script.
Yeah, that's doomed. But then we wrote the script, and people were like, you know, here we go in Star Wars. I'm not panicking like most people are. It happens. Rewrites happen all the time. I don't think it's a big deal.
They bring Larry Kasdan in for that shit.
I think for the Force Awakens, he was in there. And maybe Rogue One, I think. Either way, it may have. But they got some. He's more of a playwright, but he's really good. I've seen his resume. It's legit. So, okay.
Now Larry Kasdan hauls his son around with him, too.
He was doing Han Solo. Right. He wrote the Han Solo. That's what it was. But it was about new writer. It's not a big deal. It's not much to do about nothing. It happens all the time.
Everybody relax.
Exactly. It's in the panic.
No, dude, I'm not freaking out.
No, of course not. But a lot of people were like, oh, here we go. Everybody calm down. I haven't started filming the movie yet, for Christ's sake. Let's relax. However, that being said, that's out there. Not a big deal. Everybody's panicking. Calm down. Let's assume I'll put you as the head of the Lucasfilm, Disney, whatever studios. I guess it's Disney. So I want you to pitch what should be the next movie, which they haven't announced yet, as far as the anthology movie. And who should direct it?
I got.
You know, Mike. You know, Mike's itching to go with that. So, Mike,
No. If you want me to go first,
go ahead, please. By all means,
I'm definitely down for an Obi-Wan Kenobi movie.
ladies first.
Ladies first. It's true, you know.
Right.
I think it's like a Notebook Star Wars version. You know, Luke and Leia in the Notebook.
I like Obi-Wan.
So you're still the Obi-Wan.
I'm an Obi-Wan movie guy, but I also wouldn't mind seeing an Ahsoka Tano movie, Solo movie. Or a movie based on the Bounty Hunters with Cad Bane, Boba Fett, and maybe even Jango Fett. So I think those all three would be interesting.
What's your top choice out of those three?
Obi-Wan? Yeah.
With McGregor?
Yeah, of course.
Trilogy or just single?
I don't know. It depends on how much material they have. I mean, if you go with the published word that isn't canon,
right?
There's a mile of Obi-Wan material between... Stuff where he's a Padawan.
So you're thinking like not even his Tatooine days. You're talking about a way back.
No, I'm not. Tatooine days. You could do anything you want to do. I'm all in on Obi-Wan. I'm all in on Ewan McGregor. I think he's a great actor.
Who's your director for it?
Okay, so I have a couple of directors that I like. I would love to see Christopher Nolan get a shot at Star Wars.
I knew you were going to say that. Yeah.
No, but I also wouldn't mind seeing David Fincher do something a little darker with the Star Wars universe.
I like I'll say this. Between one of the two in a vacuum, Nolan's a better director. However, I'd rather see Fincher do a Star Wars movie than Nolan. I don't think it's a good fit for Nolan. I don't see it.
I think it's because he's very headstrong. Yeah. He brings his people in.
Right, he does his own thing.
His brother and him are pretty octopus-like when it comes to material. If you look at the way he was basically, DC was told, butt the hell out of my movie.
Yeah.
Batman movies, him and his brother pretty much took the script that was written, rewrote the whole thing.
Exactly.
And listen, I'm not complaining. I thought he did a fantastic job. My only issue with him would be his ability to film fight scenes, which I think was there was deficits in all three movies.
Yeah, but I think
the rest of the movie is great. Yeah,
I think Star Wars Legends is more typical action, which he proved he can do. Yeah, it's more. But I mean,
I just think that they're not going to give him the artistic license.
What we've seen so far from Lucas,
not Lucas in Lucasfilm. It's what's her face.
Well, Kennedy, who heads that division or whatever.
Right.
It's not happening. So okay, that's I'm with you with the Obi-Wan. I like that. Chewie, what about you, man? You're heading up. Who's directing, and what movie you want to see?
Well, I mean, I got two directions. I want to get away from the Skywalker family trilogy. I mean, enough of this era.
Agreed.
I'm good with that.
Expand the horizons. Let's go back into the past. There's a lot of some good stories there on the Knights of the Republic. Or let's take it 100 years out, you know, away from Luke, Leia, Han Solo, and everybody, and give us something new and fresh. Obviously, still in this Star Wars universe.
So, are you looking for like a Darth Plagueis something, or are you looking
maybe a Darth Malgus, maybe you know, back in the early with the real Emperor back in 4,600 years before all these events. I've always been fascinated with the comics and the stories, and I'm not sure if it's canon or non-canon, but
it's not canon stories. Right now. Just so you know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then there's more freedom to even.
But they have been. I will say this, and not to interrupt you, brother.
Sure.
They have made things that are considered uncanon canon, like Thrawn. I mean, and a couple of other.
Or even Darth Revan, you know, turning from light to good to light. I mean, I think that would be a great movie, a great story.
I agree.
Be a trilogy, and it's and it's completely away from any of the stuff we have now. Cause I think we're getting too much saturation. This one snippet area. Let's go out beyond our boundaries.
Well, the other thing would be like there can only be two. Sith story.
Oh God! Yes.
You know, and some of that.
Darth, who was that cat?
No, it was the first one. It was my brain just fell out of my head. But I read all those books because I'm a loser.
Was it Darth Bane?
Darth Bane, yes.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, right around there. So that's about 1,000 years before.
Right, and his multitude of apprentices that he went through.
Yeah, and going through the history of how it became ruler too. Yeah, I think that'd be an amazing story to tell in the movie.
Who's directing?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure who would be the right director for that. I mean, I wouldn't mind maybe Josh Whedon putting his hand to the Star Wars universe and see what he
could
do.
Not a bad idea.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
You know,
that's not bad. I would actually. Yeah, I think his sensibilities work for that universe.
I think
his ability to work in a confine, because the Star Wars Lucasfilms has already kind of made it a box that you have to work out of, right? And if you're not willing to work out of that box, they're not afraid to send you away.
You
got to
play ball, essentially. Right. Yeah, you're right. Josh Whedon, he's obviously done that with two major studios, and he's doing it now currently.
Right.
That's not bad. I like those ideas. I mean, are you right? I agree with both of you guys. I mean, I don't mind Ben Kenobi. I would not jump in for joy, but definitely something out of the whole Skywalker saga. Let's get away from that. There's so much to tell.
No, like Kenobi on Tatooine would be kind of cool if he gets called out on extra missions by Yoda. I think it'd be a great idea.
There's definitely a lot of stuff, especially with McGregor, because he's
great.
He's played him somewhat recently. For me, I will go. I'm dying for this. I don't want to see a Boba Fett movie per se, but I want to see the Bounty Hunters movie. And to the backdrop of what's going on, but have no real tie-in to the main Star Wars story, no tie-in to the saga. It's an independent kind of, here's a bounty hunter, they're all like a rat race, everybody's going after a certain prize, and kind of make it fun at the same time, a little bit dark, all new characters, bounty hunters that we've seen, some we haven't seen. Although make a good TV series, I'd rather see a movie out of it first, and I want to see Matthew Vaughn.
That kind of story, I think, would be great for a TV series.
It would, but I mean, it wouldn't be bad for him either.
Listen, bounty hunters,
That would be great. It would also be great as like a Star Wars Rebels type show, where you have that CGI-ish looking animation.
But they can do something like that.
It would be good to me, and I love Cad Bane, I love Boba Fett. I would even love to see them do something with Jango Fett, because really they didn't have any of those. They didn't tell those stories.
No, they haven't. That's what I'm saying. I would love this. And with that, you need a director who can get a little more. I think Matthew Vaughn for me can get fun, a little over the top, but still maintain.
How about like Edgar Wright or something of that ilk?
He just wouldn't fit. I love Edgar Wright.
Star Wars period.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good fit. he does his own thing way too much.
Yeah. Oh, you mean he's not a good fit for Star Wars?
For Star Wars. He's a good director, but he's not for Star Wars.
No, no, I'm good with that. That's actually a good observation.
That, or even like a Denis Villeneuve, I think, would be great. I like him a lot. So depends what happens with Blade Runner.
Yeah, really.
I mean, maybe it's great. I don't know. He's done really well, so he hasn't.
I like who he brought in. I like that he kept some of the main characters in the story. It's interesting.
I mean, he's given us some. The last three movies have been really good, so we'll see. Second topic. This one I read about last week. Didn't get a chance to touch on it, but the Karate Kid is back. They're making a show. I think on RedTube or whatever, YouTube channel, whatever, and they're bringing.
Wait, what?
On RedTube
and Ralph Macchio
or YouTube,
back.
Whatever.
So it's no, I know what RedTube is, dude. Yeah. I'm asking. This is going to be a streaming show.
Yeah, streaming show. And it's the bringing back Ralph Macchio, the guy who played.
Is he gonna be like
the blonde haired kid? Yeah. He's Danny, and the other guy is the guy who's the guy he fought. And he swept the leg.
You're talking about that
the blonde haired kid,
Fan kid, or whatever.
I forget his name. Yeah, I forget his name. But that guy, they're both. I guess
they're both 100 years old. They're both older than me.
They're old. Well, not that old, Mike.
They're older than me.
And I think the blonde haired kid is opening up at Cobra Kai, and I guess he's gonna rival Danny's. What I think he's got
is that guy
a dojo
dead,
as well.
By the way, the guy that played the
instructor.
Be.
He may be alive.
He was a great actor. He's one of those guys.
He's a guy for that thing, yeah. So they're doing that show. I don't know how I feel about that. Whatever. So it got me thinking. We'll do What If. Now we're TV executives. So again, we'll start with Mike. So obviously, Karate Kid was from the 80s. A fan favorite, one of my favorite movies back in the day, you know. Take an 80s TV show, a movie, I'm sorry. And make into a TV show. What property would you choose?
I gave you some background in the pre-production meeting, and this is going to sound like a really weird idea, but I think it would fit the 8-episode series form.
Okay.
And I think you could have it go as long as you wanted it to go. I really want to see them do something with Scorsese's After Hours, which is a really great movie. And I don't know if you've seen it yet or you haven't seen it, but it's a great movie. It's filled with like stars, and you could do like an 8-episode series based on trying to find your way back uptown.
For those, it's not a well-known movie, so familiarize.
No. You want me to read? I can read the synopsis.
Yeah, read the synopsis. What is After Hours?
In a Manhattan cafe, word processor Paul Hackett, who's Griffin Dunn, meets and talks literature with Marcy, who's Roseanne Arquette. Later that night, Paul takes a cab to Marcy's downtown apartment. His $20 bill flying out the window during the ride portends the unexpected night he has. He cannot pay for the ride and finds himself in a series of awkward, surreal, and life-threatening situations with a colorful cast of characters. He spends the rest of the night trying to turn uptown. So, like, to me, you could make this into 2 or 3 seasons just in kind of a vortex, you know, and I think it's a great idea for a mini series. And if you brought in like Scorsese as even a showrunner for it, maybe not a director, but like,
which is possible,
right? Somebody that could oversee production. I think this would be a fantastic show to make.
That's interesting. You actually bring back the actor Patricia Arquette, right?
Yeah.
You said okay.
Yeah.
You could probably bring him back,
right?
Like the David. Okay, I like that. Different.
Actually, it's Roseanne Arquette.
Roseanne Arquette. I'm sorry. She's still around. Yeah. True. What you got?
I narrowed it down to 3 areas, but I think my top one, or the first one I'm going to talk about is an 80s great movie that I loved back in the day, a vampire theme, Lost Boys.
Oh, you know what? I thought about that too, but go ahead.
Everybody loves a good vampire story. There's plenty of vampire stories on TV and movies, but the movie was unique. It was a pretty good movie with Kiefer Sutherland and the Corey Haim,
Jason Patrick. I love that movie.
Yeah. Diane Weiss, the mother.
Yes. That movie's great.
But I think that movie would be there was enough there to make it into a multi-season series. Just based on that story. Another option that I kind of considered was something in the Blade Runner universe. Just because obviously with the new one coming out this year, and so there could be enough there to fill in a good TV show around that universe, perhaps.
I'm fine with that. I like the Lost Boys one. And I did think about that one. Mm-hmm. I think Lost Boys...
That's a great idea.
Yeah, because I think you can make more lighthearted, fun.
You could make it fun. You could make it serious. You could do anything you want.
You have that little Stranger Vibes, kind of, if you want to place in the 80s, you can easily do that.
What about kind of Fright Night?
Oh, no, that's a bad one.
But I'm saying...
But I mean, but that could be another... It's very similar to that. That kind of tone, actually. Same kind of tone with that movie. But the other thing about that, I thought about three, aside from Lost Boys. One was They Live, but I just could not see the TV show.
I think it's a great idea.
God, I forgot about that movie.
We've come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
Because, I mean, I want to bring Roddy Piper back.
That's an awesome idea.
I'm not sure how that would work, but I did think about that. I didn't conceptualize as much.
That might not be a bad idea, actually.
I think
it'd be really good, right?
I think you could really stretch that out.
I think you could stretch it out, right?
It could give you kind of an Alien Nation vibe.
Remember V?
Because they left that movie so open-ended to begin with.
They did. So I could see, like, the first season focusing on Discovery.
Carpenter. Right?
Yeah. And then after that, obviously, the fighting the aliens and all. For those who haven't seen that movie, it's a B-movie-esque movie, but it's really good. Great idea for a flick. Right. Really good.
It's got one of the best glasses, the chew gum, and
it's got a great street fight. You know, that's a really good concept of a movie. But I did think about that. I thought of Ferris Bueller, but they kind of tried that in the 90s. I didn't know that, and it failed miserably.
Yeah.
Another one I could think of was Ghostbusters.
They did that kind of with a cartoon, and it was very successful.
It was successful, but bringing it live action, maybe you still toss it. I mean, they tossed in the Bill Murray.
See what they do with something. You know, potentially. With something, whatever that is, that show on Netflix. I'm freaking having a...
Which one?
The show that was so great.
Stranger Things.
Okay. I was saying something wicked for somewhere.
No.
Sorry, dude.
But I think The Label would be the one I would like to see. That could be interesting.
I actually think that'd be really cool. I'm really a They Live thing. I think would be really.
I think
really
that'd be
really
good. I think it'd be kind of cool.
I think it'd be a neat.
Yeah,
idea.
A good premise.
I think that all three of our ideas actually were.
That worked pretty well, man. That's a lot of stuff they can do. I mean,
right. I'm just saying, like a show like After Hours, you could do that. You know, you could do. That's what I'm saying. Is when you look at expanding the medium, like 12 Monkeys, they've squeezed three seasons now, Chewy.
It'll be four total.
It's a really great show, and that was a great movie.
You're right. They squeezed
that.
You're right.
And it can be, if it's done right. I mean, 12 Monkeys is one of my favorite shows on TV. I love the movie. I love the TV show even more because it goes beyond, you know, that 2-hour window of what's going on in this world.
And it created, of course. It's great world building. You can expand on that, and that's
really
cool.
And I love the dystopian time travel stuff that goes on.
And I agree, the
definitions of it. It's a really good show, and I can't say enough good things about it. It's one of my... 12 Monks is one of my top 20 favorite movies.
It's a really good movie. That's another one. Terry Gilliam
directed that. I know it's a Luc Besson movie. It's a remake of a French movie, but it's
stupid.
But it's a really good movie.
It's a good one. It's a good Bruce Willis and Brad Pitt. Yeah, right. It's really good. Let's move on to the third and final one. So we had this saddens nobody, but apparently Alex Kurtzman, who directed The Mummy. And decided to leave the Universal Monster Universe.
The Dark Universe.
Who the hell cares? I mean, no big loss. That being said, though, we're in a world where everything's a shared universe. And this is the main course here as far as the what if. We get universes left and right. We got Marvel, DC, and you know, I think the Dark Universe. And they talked about Ghostbusters as a shared universe. And whatever, you name it. Conjuring has this universe. So, you're back to the movie executive. Your choice. And this was... I told Chewie and Man Beast they could use any current movie characters, current movies, past, present, except Marvel and DC, and pitch your new shared universe. So, Mike, again, we start with you, big man.
Why do I have to go first? Why not? Chewie go first.
Okay, Chewie.
Age before beauty.
Age before beauty.
Age before beauty.
So, Chewie, what do we got? What are you pitching here, man?
Well, I mean, obviously, I'm not the most creative person. I rely on you for that. But I was kind of thinking something on the lines of kind of sharing, you know, the MI6 with Bond, with Wick type of universe.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know, contemporary. We throw in a comic blind. You know, it's so contemporary, and it's all with all these, countries, special services, special forces. But kind of bringing it all together somehow, you know?
I like that. I mean, when you have Bond and MSX, I was like, yeah, but you throw in John Wick, I'm like, okay, now you're talking.
Yeah, you got to throw it down.
Because John Wick's kind of a different world.
There's got to be an underground element, you know.
Yeah, no, you're right. And now we're talking. You know what? That's not a bad idea, actually. I people have talked about when I see Bond and even Jason Bourne. I'll talk for you. I hope you have Chewie tossing Bourne
in
there.
Yeah.
You know, as far as combining these organizations.
Hey, you know, what the hell? Throw in the Kingsman.
Kingsman. Well, hey, what the hell? Throw a little guy in there.
The Kingsman has kind of created, just like John Wick did, the Kingsman has kind of created their own universe.
They have. John Wick did. But I could see that. Actually, it'd be kind of cool. Keanu Reeves, Tom Cruise, Daniel Craig together.
Yeah.
Matt Damon.
Yeah.
That's not bad, dude. That's not a bad choice, dude.
Thank you.
That's not bad. But how do you time in?
That's strong.
That's strong. How do you time in?
Well, obviously, I rely on the minions to come up with creative ideas.
So, Chewie's going to hire the perfect writer.
He's got his arms crossed and he's pointing.
Chewie can't do everything, for Christ's sake.
But that's my vision.
That's a good one. That's not bad. That'd be kind of cool to see all the major spy badasses, whatever.
The spy network, spy that come together. You know, obviously there's still individual movies, but you know, bringing them together for a more global problem. You know,
fighting
each other.
I think it's actually a great,
almost like a Magnificent Seven, but of the spy world. Speaking of
Magnificent Seven,
which we'll get to later. That's not bad. I like that. Good job. That's not bad. Mike, what you got?
Okay, so mine's a little different. Okay,
you like that?
I started to think, and I'm like, what can I do that's going to be out of the box for what's going on? And this hasn't not been done before, but I think it's a great idea for something that could be, if it's written well, can be very interesting and fun. The name of my universe is called the Pulp Universe.
Okay.
So what I would have in that universe would be the Phantom, Mandrake the Magician, the Spirit, the Shadow, Flash Gordon, and Doc Savage.
Wow.
All in that universe, okay?
Good Lord.
No, but what you would do is you'd have individual movies for each one and then have them overlap together. I was a huge fan of the Phantom 2040 series. Do you remember that series?
I remember the series.
It was animated.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was a great movie. And actually, they made a video game out of it that was really good. It was a Sega Genesis game.
Wow, I didn't play that.
It was an excellent game anyway. I just became a huge fan of that show, and the art was kind of done in the Aeon Flux style, which is
really cool.
Something that's really cool, was really cool in the time back in the early 90s, and I think it would be a great idea. Look,
would it be animated or
live action? Look, I even kind of like the Billy Zane Phantom movie. I didn't think it was horrible. There was a lot about it that was junk.
I don't remember, to be honest with you. I know I saw it.
No, it was junk. Yeah. And the Alec Baldwin Shadow movie was junk, too.
The Shadow was terrible. I loved it. It was terrible. I loved it.
But I think
there's
an opportunity here that they could do something that's not cheesy with it and make it kind of a hard-boiled type of show and not make it stupid. If they make it stupid, then I'm not interested. But if you take everybody and you move it around, I think there's enough material there. If you take like the fan there, and you know, they aren't all like,
The Phantom and
Mandrake the Magician are both related to each other, and they're both invented by the same guy.
Okay.
The Spirit is a different guy. He's a pulp kind of a detective type thing. The Shadow we all know about. Flash Gordon is kind of a cool character because he's a man out of time type thing. that notwithstanding, that movie's terrible.
That movie's awesome, dude.
But
come on.
The Sci-Fi did a Flash Gordon show a couple years ago. It was okay. I didn't like it too much, but they played the character as a former football player that
in the movie.
But the Doc Savage thing, I think, is going to be... He'd be the linchpin. I think the linchpins would be Phantom, Shadow, and Doc Savage would be the big franchisees. And then you could also rope in the others, and people would get interest in them, kind of in the way that Ant-Man gets interest or Doctor Strange gets interest. So, personally, I just think I would love to see somebody... Of course, her writing would have to be spot on. There's mountains of material out there for all of these characters, and I think that's the other part of it.
Any casting? Who do you want to see?
Honestly,
not Alec Baldwin, but...
honestly, I would, there's plenty of actors out there. I wouldn't even want to, like... portend to decide who was going to play what, but the Shadow could be played by an older actor, you know.
I mean, so many.
Who's the guy that plays Alfred in the current Batman? Jeremy Irons.
Jeremy Irons, right.
And I think Jeremy Irons would be a great, great, great Shadow. I think he would be awesome. That's the kind of guy that I'm looking for. Not, you know, seasoned and making it good. The Phantom would be a great idea for a show too, but the way that they did it in the movie is garbage. I just think that this could be a universe that actually they could do something with if they had writing to match what they were doing.
Okay, I like
that. You
guys
like that?
It's different. I like it.
I put some thought into it.
I like it. Mine's a little bit different. Not different, but as far as the genre, of course, I went with the horror genre. I was actually... I got this whole idea because me and Mr. Top 10 Lopez, who's right. been on the show many times. We saw Annabelle Creation. We started talking about horror movies, and I was like, "Oh, you know, it's a good idea for this." And this comes up. So I'm like a horror shared universe, and they kind of did it before.
They did it with Freddy and Jason,
but not like that. That was garbage. I'm talking about Freddy, Michael Myers, Jason, Leatherface,
Chucky.
I mentioned Chucky, which is kind of interesting. Pinhead. So talking about the major players, the old school, the icons of horror. Hellraiser. So we're starting off with an individual movie. I'm not talking about, like, because I know the whole conversation started because of the Universal Dark Universe, and it was supposed to be scary, but it's not. And The Mummy was an action movie, the ultimate at the end of the day. And I want to see...
There was some scary stuff.
It wasn't a bad movie, but it wasn't a horror movie by any stretch of the imagination. It was more of an action, you know, fun, kind of in vein of the original.
I think they made a mistake by going to The Mummy first. I think if they would have brought something else out, I think they should still try to stick with it. There are some characters in there that are interesting to me.
It depends. If the tone's going to be the same, they're not worth it. I want to see a horror, like old school, not Freddy and Jason was kind of comedic and over the top and was funny. I liked it because Freddy and Jason, but it was bad. Let's be honest about that. But talking about taking, we'll start with Freddy, has his typical Freddy movie, reboot it, whatever you got to do, reboot all these franchises. And the one thing we always joking about was always that one survivor at the end of each movie. That always happens, always one person that escaped. Right, would it be Nancy or I think Friday 13th with that one girl escaped, right. whatever, and all that. They all have the one person that gets away. So obviously every movie will focus, you know, they're just kidding anybody, one person survives in each movie, and all those people who survive get together because now they're fighting all of them once again.
Right.
So now you have crossing over to Freddy and Mike Myers, where they're going after the people who they haven't killed yet. So they're all going after it, you know, all together, and you build that universe and making it really, really dark. The way a true slasher, old school horror movie should be like, which we just don't get anymore. We get good horror movies.
We
get good horror movies, but they're a different breed. We don't get the good slasher films anymore.
I'm not a horror guy, but that sounds like a lot of fun.
That's what I'm saying. You get old school Freddy and Jason. They're not going against each other. They're working together.
Bring in Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah. That'd be kind of cool. Mac, they're helping each other out. They're kind of unwittingly all together. And they don't even know the innocent universe until all the survivors, maybe like in a group meeting, they'll talk about how they survived their particular beast or whatever you want to call them, terror, right. the slasher, and then all of a sudden they're all facing the same people. That's what I want to see. Give me a good, nice, good horror, good old school classic shared universe, not this mummy bullshit. and even The Conjuring doesn't count. I know they're doing the shared universe, but it's not the same. They just take a character that's created and toss it in the movie. That's not shared universe. That's spin-offs. It's not the same thing. So that's my idea. So either way, so that was different for us to do that, you know, so we don't get away from the movies.
Hey, Chewy, you weren't going to bring up your idea for a Golden Girls shared universe? Yeah.
Directed by Luc Besson?
I don't know about a Notebook shared universe. You might have seen that.
I can take it.
Produced by Luc Besson.
USA.
That's awesome. USA. So let's get into it. We're going to move away from the movies. We got enough time to dive into, of course, what everyone's always talking about.
Game of Thrones.
And my second What the Fudge of the Week.
You and I are very... Don't agree with
this. USA.
USA.
A show that Luc Besson probably doesn't like.
Oh, did people come out here and say USA, USA?
There's no Frenchman in Game of Thrones.
Russia number one, Iran number one, USA.
the Ukraine week. So either way, so we got Game of Thrones. So here we go. We got episode number 5. We got 2 left.
Right. Again, 55 minutes.
I mean, like I said, I'm a realist here now. I'll give Game of Thrones props. Like, 2 weeks ago, that was one of the best episodes the season's ever had, right? And the best action scene that they've ever had. Mm-hmm. However, with the good comes the bad, and I thought this was probably one of the weakest, if not the weakest, poorly written episodes I've ever had.
Highly, highly disagree.
I know you guys were.
I don't think I can disagree more.
Of course not, because you guys are blind. You guys are lupusing the Game of Thrones world. No, it's never bad. No, everybody raves about each episode.
True, that's not true. Finish.
I will agree 100% your issue, which the whole swimming jazz. Oh,
that was the least of the worst issues.
That's just lazy writing.
Agreed.
Here's a simple fix. Not perfect, but they could have quite easily done, have them come out without any of the armor, without the hand, and it would have been at least semi-plausible that
absolutely
but not when he comes out full armor and I'm like, oh come on,
and like a mile away. This one's like a mile,
right? They're looking all the way across the lake,
across the way.
No,
that I agree with.
That was terrible. I hated it. I hated
it. How hard was it for them? Hey, just drop
the armor. Take off the armor. We see him sinking at the end of the episode. It's heavy. It's like 150 pounds from what
drop
I read.
Drop the armor, pop it off, take off the hand, and okay.
So, and the worst part is that Jaime probably couldn't swim himself because it's too heavy. I get it. So Bronn has to swim both of them?
Right.
Get out of here. It's not,
swim a mile carrying a guy.
Aside from that.
Okay, hold up. That's just the beginning. Of it. And it gets worse from there.
There
were some good moments.
Oh my God.
Don't get me wrong. There were some good moments.
You didn't like burning the Tarleys?
Oh, hold up. Wait. I didn't say everything was bad. Tarleys was cool. That part was good. I like that we have a Daenerys who now is kind of becoming the villain. I don't know.
I don't know.
She's doing what villains do, ultimately.
I don't know. I think they're trying to...
She has to take a stand.
She does.
She can't say, Ben Daenerys died, but nah, just kidding. I'll take you to jail. Or whatever.
I'm not saying she's wrong.
Have consequences.
They chose that.
They chose. I get it. I like that scene a lot. But you know, but you have Tyrion and what's his face talking about her. They're kind of second guessing her motives and all that. Who knows what's going on with them? But it's a good scene. I mean, but it seems like that's going to be her downfall.
Right.
They're setting it up to where okay.
Potentially. Yeah.
Hey,
but not a bad scene.
Are they setting up a dragon fight between Jon and Daenerys?
I heard that before, and I've heard that.
Well, I don't think it's going to happen this season.
That'd be interesting.
It's possible based on other information. Well, information we knew already, but we'll get to that in a second.
Today about Jon's lineage and the fact that he might be the rightful heir to the Iron Throne.
Let's get it too. I had a problem with that too. Not as far as information.
Because Gilly pulled it out of her ass?
Yes, dude. Come on, bro. That was so lazy.
Here's the other part of that that's stupid, okay? First of all, how does she know how to read, number one?
I don't know.
She was one of, 18 or 19 wives of this guy that happened to be his daughter, too?
Right.
I don't know if you know anything about genetics, but people that mate with their family with their direct family members... generally, bad things happen when it comes to,
of course,
the mental quotient of those,
especially that many.
Exactly,
I mean, it's bad. But it was such fan service and it was so belated. And the show doesn't do that. It was so out of character, which is why I hated it. Because there's 15,000 steps.
But D&B,
I went to the bathroom. Annulment. Next page, like what? What?
Well, he didn't say anything. He was like, let's go. We gotta go.
But it was lazy because
what do you want to say? No, I mean, I told you, I warned you when they said we're only doing 13 episodes, this was going to happen.
Right.
Was going
to
happen.
Oh, I know. Hey, Chewy, doesn't mean I have to like it.
Chewy, in the wrestling business, this is called hot shotting.
For real. Yeah. And it's one of those that, you know, they're going to mention it. He's going to go, oh, what's that passage you read to me before? Right.
They're not going to do that.
Oh, really? Really? Yeah. Okay.
I'll put money on it. You want to put money on it?
$10.
I'll stand by my conviction if you stand by yours.
$10 at that. When they bring up the whole thing, the sound's going to be like,
oh,
wait
a minute. I don't think they're going to have time for that nonsense.
Well, they have to bring it.
Exactly. There's not going to be time for that. Exactly. Thank you, Mike.
Okay.
Exactly.
I remember you guys said that. We're going to circle back next season when I get brought up again.
Let's keep moving.
So let's keep moving. So either way, so that was bad. I didn't like that at all.
What other things you like? Tell us.
Okay, hold on. Now, there's two things.
As you drink your Haterade wine.
I'm drinking Corona,
actually,
he's
drinking Corona. So. Mike Rose opened the bar today.
I heard Luke Besson liked the episode. So I'm going to tell you how bad this episode was. So now we get to the part where we have Therion meeting with Jaime, which is cool. Okay, yes. Bron let him in and all that. You know, okay, right. Great. It was a nice little reunion of sorts, if you will. I guess he's trying to get Cersei to be at peace, whatever. Now, he's talking to Cersei. Jaime is after the fact. Mm-hmm. She gives him that bullshit. She's pregnant. Okay. I'm not buying that. I don't know if you guys are buying it.
By the way, I think it's bullshit, too.
It's bullshit. She's not pregnant. She needs to be showing, like, time next week, because this show that people time travel, a lot of time passes. She needs to be showing. She's not showing next week. That means she's not pregnant. But either way, so they talk about it, and then she mentions she was already aware that Tyrion was there.
Right, which I didn't understand that either.
Thank you. So you're telling me that person she hates the most, who killed her father, all of a sudden is in her midst with no security, no protection, and she does nothing about it.
By the way, somebody explain this to me?
Of the meeting, she knew before Jaime told her that they had met, not that he was there.
Right, but how did she know?
That's what I'm saying. They knew.
Because he's talking to Qyburn, and Qyburn has all the children who are his whispers or whatever.
Right, but okay, that brings me to something, dude, and I love that episode, but I'm going to tell you, when did they say that Qyburn was the Hand? When was he ever appointed the Hand? I don't remember him ever being appointed the Hand.
I don't either, to be honest with you. But I don't know.
It was she didn't have, they didn't show it, but he had that hand symbol last season.
Right,
but
nobody said anything about it. Nobody has said that Qyburn is a Hand.
Well, it doesn't matter if he's a Hand, because they showed specifically when he killed Maester Pycelle with the children that he was taking control of
fine.
All the children.
I get it, but let's
just the same way the fairies got out of the secret, the same exact way.
So you're okay. So let's back up. So you're saying that she didn't know about the meeting until after the meeting?
Yeah, because she
Come on, man.
That part of the show, I'm going to tell you right now, bothered me more than any other part of the show. Worse than swimming 2 miles with a full thing of iron. I just don't get it, man. I don't get why
she knew he was there.
First of all, she's not any kind of tactical genius. She's not. She's already said that she's had her bacon saved by friggin' Tyrion. She's had her bacon saved by Jaime. She's not a tactical genius. She's crazy. She's crazy.
And she had to know. She said, I mean, because for them to know the meeting happened, that means that they saw him approaching the castle, or something in the castle at King's Landing, whatever.
But they didn't see him approaching, because you saw them approaching.
But someone knew, because she knew
he
about
went
it.
In through the, but he went in through the underground. How's he? He got word to Bronn somehow. But there's somebody that stole that idea.
It's ridiculous. It doesn't make sense.
This is weirder than areas weight distribution.
Oh, of course. That's a bit, that doesn't make
sense. Area growing 5 inches Walder Frey.
We need Rick Sanchez to explain this to us, man. How about that?
I need somebody. It's a sports science.
Wait, is this Rick Sanchez, the guy that squatted over Iraq? That Rick Sanchez?
No, Rick Sanchez from Rick and Morty, dude.
Okay, sorry. I knew who you were talking about, I wanted to make a Rick Sanchez joke.
But
I was going to start singing one in a minute.
But it was lazy writing. It didn't make sense at all. I mean, I get it. Everybody knows everything that goes on the show. I get it.
They didn't present it the right way, but I can see where she got the information that he had met with Jaime before Jaime told her.
I don't know how she would have gotten the information. There was no one there.
I just think it's really crappy story writing.
It really it's lazy. It really is. And then you come to the worst part, the what the fudge. This is the what the fudge. Okay. The worst plan conceived in any TV show in the history of mankind, and I challenged both of you guys to come up with the worst plan. This whole idea of going to get the one White Walker and bring him back to Cersei is so retarded. It makes no freaking sense. Why the fudge would you go out there, risk your best man? It's like a preseason game. You're starting Tom Brady all 4 quarters. Okay. Just giving Jon Snow, just giving Drew, just giving everybody to get a White Walker.
Dude, it's the Magnificent Seven.
To appease a queen that has no power. Let me finish.
He's going to be stuck in the friend zone forever.
Yeah, he's dying, by the way. But they're out to get
I disagree.
They want to prove to Cersei someone.
Wait, I'm going to stop you there. I just want to ask you a question, and I want you to answer me truthfully. Mm-hmm. Why the hell would they save him from Grayscale, to have him go north of the lawn, get killed by a White Walker.
We'll get to that.
I'm asking.
I don't know why.
Where is the sense in that? That's like them killing. I got into a kind of a mini argument with a friend of mine, who said Arya is going to die this season. I said, why would they put Arya through all this training with the Faceless Men to have her be killed by some shithead from Littlefinger? No. Littlefinger is getting axed.
Yeah, he's getting axed. And we'll get to that in a minute. That's my only thing about
the show. Actually,
let's go back about the idea.
That's my idea. That's my idea.
The idea is not a good idea because even Tormund told them this is a stupid idea.
It's dumb. But and they're trying to appease Cersei, who's what?
I think Tormund is going
to
get killed.
No, they're not trying to appease Cersei. The only way that
they're trying to keep her at bay.
The only way that Daenerys will come help them is they have to stop the war. How are they going to do that? Well, she's not going to stop
right, but why are you stopping the war? What? Tell, because everybody knows everything on the show. So you can't tell me they don't know she's got nobody left to fight with. She's got nothing. No power. Nothing at all. Let's tell you what. Let's all go to North. We'll stop by King's Landing. Fry them up. And we'll go back to North. It takes 2 seconds. Because they have no chance. As even Jaime and Cersei both admit.
It didn't take no seconds. Because you were asking what happened to
in that show, it takes 2 seconds to go point A to point B. Okay. We know time travel in the show. So it doesn't make sense. It's dumb. It's just so ridiculous. Because they're painting themselves in the corner. They're like, you know, we can't finish the Cersei storyline. So this is what we'll do. We'll put the storyline on ice with some ridiculous, dumb idea. So we can get to the North. Finish that off at mid-season next year and take the next 3 episodes to finish Cersei off. When they could have done Cersei off this season, go to the White Walkers next year and have a battle between Jon Snow and Daenerys, because she's going to find out that he's a true heir and she's not going to like it, and that's how it goes. But now they're putting Cersei on ice because they don't know how to write on the show. And that's been the biggest gripe about the show from the beginning, which I said from day one. The writing has been very shoddy, and the minute that they don't have George Martin's books, they don't know what the freak is going on, and it's a pure example of them just skating through. And I'm sure next week is going to be great. It's going to be amazing. I'm going to love it.
It's going to be 70 something minutes.
Yeah, but let's be honest.
71 minutes.
Next it's going to be fantastic. But how they got 80. There? Yeah, and how they set 81. It up? How they set it up was ridiculous. It was terrible writing. It's irrefutable. It's a dumb idea. You guys disagree. It's a dumb idea. You guys agree the swimming is terrible. I agree that the idea of Cersei knowing is terrible. And then you have 3 or 4 terrible things no one disagree with, and you want to tell me it's a great episode? No, you can't do that.
It was a
badly written, conceived episode, which would yield good results down the road, but it's still
bad. Come on, dude.
Bad.
Let me
still
go
bad.
Back and
Joran,
the
Jorah dying.
Jorah.
They gave each other that look like you're dying. Tyrion gave him a little coin, which we've seen 1,000 times. Oh, bring this back. Yeah, he's going to bring it back when he hands it to Jon Snow, saying, give this to Tyrion. Thank him for it. That's exactly what's going to happen. Because they got 7 guys going out there. Not all of them are coming back.
It's stupid. But
you
it's...
know people are dying next week.
No. Guaranteed. I know who's going to die. I know who's dying next week.
I don't want to know. But
I'm not spoiling it. I'm just telling you that I know from looking at who's there, who's going to freaking die. Why did they bring Gendry back from nowhere?
That was ridiculous.
Right. So he's going to die, right?
Which is dumb.
What's either going to happen.
No, Gendry, I don't think
Gendry's
dying.
Let me say what I'm going to say, man.
Okay,
Gendry, either Gendry's going
to
die.
Don't crumple your notebook. Take it easy.
Either Gendry's going to die or Davos Seaworth is going to die. One of those two
Davos
are going to die.
Davos is not there.
But Davos isn't going north, but I think he's going to die.
He's not with them.
Let me finish what I'm saying. Jon Snow needs a hand, right? So if Davos dies, then Gendry's going to be his hand and his old buddy moving forward. Kind of a shoes on the other foot thing, since Gendry is the son of Robert Baratheon, and he swings a war hammer. Okay, that's what I was thinking.
Okay.
And Ned Stark was Robert Baratheon's hand. Okay, so that was my thoughts on that. So either Gendry's dying or he's not going to die and Davos is going to die. Because Davos is a hand right now, obviously, for the King of the North.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, so that's going to happen sometime in the next 2 episodes, one way or the other.
Talk about next week. Let's focus on next week.
Okay, so next week, who's
going
to die?
Who's going down?
Thoros Amir is going down.
Who's the...
Beric, that Thoros Amir is the guy with the
hair.
No, he's the bald cunt.
He's the priest.
Gotcha.
He's going to die, and Beric Dondarrion's going to die. That's the guy with the flaming sword.
That's
it? The badass. No, I'm not done yet.
Okay.
Tormund is going to die. And that's what I think is going to happen.
So those 3 are dying.
Right.
Is that, like, big enough, though?
Well, no, because like I think also Littlefinger's going to die too. But maybe, I think maybe next episode. I also think that Cersei and Jaime are going to die too.
Eventually.
No, I think they're going to die this season. Oh, the end of the season. Cersei? The end of the season, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because next season is going to be White Walkers versus...
Cersei's dragging on to next season.
Let me finish. No.
She ain't dying, dude.
I think she's dying this year.
They're not closing that storyline.
I think, but how are they going to do the Night King and the White Walkers?
Because you don't need six episodes for that.
Really?
For that? No. That's just one big battle. There's no intrigue. There's no political drama. There's nothing there. It's just a battle with the White Walkers. That's it.
I think at the end of the day, I think your boy Jon Snow is going to be the king of the realm.
That was my prediction.
And I think Daenerys is going to die, and I think that Cersei and Jaime are going to die.
Daenerys is going down. So who dies next? The all-star team going to the snow. Who's dying next week? Which makes sense.
Yeoman Johnson's going to eat it next week.
Who?
He's making a Star Trek joke.
Sorry.
There's a lot of Yeoman Johnsons behind them. We know the
fodder. There's
father. No red shirts. The fodder. I get it. Who are the main... Because you know, if no one dies next episode, I'm going to be really disappointed.
No. Someone's going down. I mean, I think Daenerys Barrick is going down. Yeah. And I think Jorah is... We've seen the last of Jorah.
I think so, too. You have to have a big name dying. Otherwise, who cares? You need to have someone big dying.
I disagree because they just healed Jorah of...
That's what I said. I think it'd be dumb.
That's like... Here's what I thought was going to happen, and somebody corrected me. One of my buddies, E, corrected me. I think that Jon Snow's going to get killed, and Thoros of Myr is going to give him the last of Beric Dondarrion's life force.
That's what I thought, but that's so...
But that's, again, that happened already. That's what I'm saying.
Who cares? That's like... You're right.
If they do it twice, that's going to kind of suck.
That's like, okay. Because, I mean, it only matters if either...
Other than that,
Friendzone dies.
Right.
Gendry, which is dumb, but if he dies...
Gendry, it doesn't make any sense. It
doesn't make sense, but I mean, he's...
But if they kill Davos, and if they kill Davos and then Gendry is his hand, that makes sense to me, because... That'll be kind of a reversal of roles.
Eventually down the road. Right. But as far as next week, right. I don't see Jon Snow dying. The Hound's not dying. We know that.
I was happy to see Gendry, by the way. I thought I was... Also, he hasn't seen Arya yet. And him and Arya had kind
of a crossing. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, he can't die. He's not dying. I can't see him die.
I want to say the callback to his father with the Warhammer.
That was cool. That was cool.
But that was the same weapon Baratheon used against Rhaegar in the Battle of the Trident.
Exactly.
Warhammer.
Yeah, that was just cool. I like that. And I'm sure he'll use it next week, of course.
No, that was his weapon of choice.
But I think, at least it has to be friendzone. He's the biggest name. The redhead guy's going
down. But it doesn't make any sense.
I agree. But you kind of, because if you got the patch, and who cares? Nobody cares about those guys.
There's only seven, so wherever it is, we're not going to like it.
That's not true. The other guy with the hair dyed, nobody cares.
No, I like Thoros of Myr and Beric Dondarrion.
Nobody cares about this guy.
I like all of them, man.
How badass did he look when he
was... That was badass.
When he started.
Why did they show that on the trailers? I hated that, dude. That was too cool showing the trailer. That would have been awesome.
Why'd you watch? Turn it off, dude.
Because they don't show stuff like that usually. They always show snippets.
Shut up.
Yeah, this guy, dude. Get the hell, like, you don't watch him. Fuck out of here, dude.
I'm not anti-trailers like you are, dude.
I know, but I'm saying that they usually don't show things like that on the show. On the next week's episode, whatever.
I thought it was really.
It was awesome. Like, dude, say that. That would have been awesome watching that scene.
I would have loved to see him just
light it on fire.
Let's go, Mother Scratchers.
That's what I'm saying. Light it on fire. Let's do it. That would have been awesome to see. They ruined it. Whatever. I mean, that's my fault for watching.
I saw some. There was part of the trailer. There was a skeleton that kind of jumped up out of the snow.
Yeah.
That looks so Ray Harryhausen to me. I was like, oh my god, that looks terrible. Am I right with that? Am I crazy there?
It was too quick.
I missed it. So
it was too quick. I know what you're talking about. It was quick. I couldn't get a good look at it. It's fast, so it's whatever. It's who knows.
It looks super Ray Harryhausen.
But I think next week's going to be. I mean, usually the second to last is usually the best episode. I think it's going to be great. This one's. The reasons why I hated it was just poorly conceived. Next week's going to be awesome.
I enjoyed the episode. I thought it was good. However, I think that they're being very neat about the loops that they're closing, and I'm worried that it's going to either start to really suck next season, or
I hope not.
Or they're going to tear everything open, and they're going to kill. If they kill Arya and leave Littlefinger, I'm going to go like, how the hell are they going to go through this next season with Littlefinger? I think Littlefinger's dead this season.
No, he's next season.
You know who I think is going to die? You ready? Brienne of Tarth is going to die this next episode. Something's going to happen, and she's going to get killed by, like, some Knights of the Vale or something.
I think she kills Jaime.
No.
No.
No, I think Jaime's going to kill Cersei.
I agree. I've heard that it could be Jaime killing her, but Arya wearing the Jaime mask.
Something's going to go down with Arya.
That was me that said that.
Is that you? Okay. I know I heard something.
No, but Jaime would have to be killed by Arya then. It doesn't make sense. That was my theory, but it was one of those.
He's on the list.
I don't have my tinfoil hat on today.
Who knows? I mean, I'm afraid that they're really going to mess this up from a writing standpoint. I'm sure it's going to be exciting. People are going to die, and that's all great and dandy. But the way they're closing these loops, I'm a little concerned about what's going on. I'm concerned about
it too, but it's still a great show.
It's still a great show. I'm not saying it's not. Like I said,
Stop being the negative.
I praised it last week to death, and I'm going to love this. And I'm going to love this. I'm praising it next week. I'm going to come on and do the show. It was awesome. It was great.
Well, next week we're not going to be here.
Well, I know, but you know, when we reconvene, we are missing a week, people. But when we reconvene, it's going to be like, oh, that was an awesome episode. And we'll probably talk about the last two since you'll be back. We'll be talking about the last two episodes and get into that heavy spoiler talk and whatever. I would say before we sign off here, I would love to see at the end of this season, I think, you know, they're going to hit the wall, right? Maybe breach the wall, whatever.
I think that's going to be the very last scene.
Right.
Is either them walking over the river to go around the wall at the Black Keep
right,
there.
Right, exactly, yes.
Or whatever. That was another thing that bothered me. How did they get from King's Landing?
Who knows?
Not King's Landing, sorry.
Dragonstone.
Dragonstone to the friggin' Black Keep in like... I was waiting for friggin' Professor Brown to come out and go, Monty, it's your kids.
This is heavy snow. That's what I'm saying. Cersei needs to be showing big time next week. I mean, she ain't showing. She's not pregnant. So it's weird. I agree with you, but I think that I would love. This is my fantasy as far as what I'd love to see is obviously the dragon gets involved. One of the dragons gets involved, and when they get sent out to him, it gets killed. And at the end, all you see is the dragon.
I also hope they don't kill Bronn. By the way,
oh, he's going down.
Why?
Cersei wants.
One of the better characters on the show.
He is, we've lost good characters.
He's hilarious.
We've lost good characters before.
Come on, man, the fancy lad school line. You can't kill him.
He's going down. He's going down.
Take on.
But I would love to see. I would love to see the dragon turn to White Walker at the end of the season. Boom! The eye opens up. It's blue, that's how it ends.
Oh, that would be awesome.
That would be. Tell me that would be badass. They kill one of the dragons, and the last shot, it just goes into his eye. Eye opens up, and it's blue. Boom! Credits. That's the way it should end. I wish that. I mean, we'll see the dragon's bald nut. That will be badass.
By the way, I did love that scene in the beginning with Bran in the three-eyed raven, and he flies over the Night King, and all of a sudden the Night King goes, "Hey!" The murder of ravens just goes.
Stupid Bran, useless guy.
Bran is the worst.
He forgets how to talk and explain things. Bran sucks.
Dude. I ain't got time to talk about this right now.
I can't explain it. Come on.
What, you got to go watch a TV show?
You got something else to do? You got to binge watch something? We got Ozark to watch? What do you got? You got nothing to do. You're sitting by a tree all damn day long. There's plenty of time to get a conversation, dude. That's what I'm saying, dude. It ain't that difficult. But anyway, let's end it there. No, I don't want to run too long and all that. We are going to take a week break. We're going to come back in a couple weeks. Mr.
I'm going to be in Mammy's, New York.
So we'll take a week break, but that's fine because we're going to come back. We're going to finish off Game of Thrones because we'll have seen, obviously, the season finale.
Right.
At that point, and accumulate some good movie news between now and then. We're all going to get into the best of the summer. That summer will be ending by the time Mike gets back. So we'll get into that kind of talk. So before I sign off, Mike, you got anything for us?
No, not really, other than girlzelyfe.com. We're getting ready for Christmas. Excited about the coming season.
Christmas, Jesus Christ, we're in August, dude.
Dude,
it's never too early.
When you're in the business, it's all about Christmas.
He's like, don't be a Grinch, dude.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm watching watching Rick and Morty. Rewatching Rick and Morty, I should say.
Awesome show.
I started watching a documentary series called Raiders of the Lost Art, which I really like a lot. It's about all the art that's been stolen over history time. Kind of a series, documentary series. There's two seasons so far. I'm about halfway through the first season. Very good. Trying to think of anything else. I think that's about it. I'm rewatching Star Wars: The Clone Wars again because I heard they're taking it off of Netflix on September 7th.
Damn, stupid Disney.
Yeah. Other than that, I'm good. But want to give a shout out to my wife and my mother-in-law is here visiting, my dog, everybody.
Should we anything else before you sign off?
Yeah, I'm curious. Can I get a copy of the notebook on Gerzak.com?
I'm going to kill you.
But seriously, shout out to my three fans, my kids. Yeah, watching a lot of Rick and Morty episodes. The show's so funny. My 13-year-old son, we can't stop laughing. Another show that I'm watching, Atypical, just came out on Netflix. Hits close to home, but it's very funny and enjoyable.
I started watching that, and we'll discuss that later. So I want to get into that with you, but I don't know if you want to or not. You let me know.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
I saw the trailer. Yeah. I wasn't.
I mean, like I said, it hits close to home, obviously, you know, for obvious reasons.
Right. But that's what I want to get into. So think about if you want to get personal with that or not. I'll leave it up to you.
Yes, absolutely. I have no problem talking about that.
Okay, so that's an interesting show. I got 1.5 episode. I'm starting to watch it. So we'll talk about that next couple weeks, whatever the case is, when we reconvene and all that. So, but that's all the time we have. I get thanks, everybody, for listening. Don't forget, go on Facebook, like us on there. We put all the content on there, reviews, the shows and trailers and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we'll see you guys in a couple weeks. Take care, fellas.
Peace.